Brandon Darby. Mr. Darby, how are you?
Hey, buddy. How's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate you coming on today. It's been, I know, a busy week for you. You've been, you started the week, or maybe you ended last week in Nevada, then you went down to the border, correct?
Well, what I did was I was in Houston and Austin, and then from there I came here, then I went to Nevada to the Bundy Ranch standoff, and then on my way back to the border, I got sidetracked by a bunch of meetings in Houston, and so I actually go to the border next week.
Ah, okay. All right, so you're on the border next week.
Crazy. I've been all over. I've gotten a lot of frequent flyer miles up west.
What, yeah. you know, and I know that y'all have been updating Breitbart Texas with some of the latest border news, and we'll also get into some of the other news that's been appearing on Breitbart here lately. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But I want to ask you about this, you know, back to the Bundy Ranch deal just real quickly, because, you know, this whole deal is still going on. There's a possibility that the federal government may try to go in yet again to the Bundy Ranch. And then there's another discussion about how, okay, well, could this set off other land grabs and other areas where you have maybe militias or just citizens who stand off against the federal government? Could you see this happening in other places if the whole Bundy Ranch deal continues and maybe even gets worse?
Well, when you say if the Bundy Ranch deal continues, what I think is the issue right now is if the hyperbolic media coverage, if the inaccurate media coverage
right.
of the Bundy Ranch ordeal continues, I think that there's a strong likelihood that there's going to be more of that kind of deal. You know, people need to understand that the situation isn't clear cut. I know it matters a lot to people. I know people, especially on the right, which is where I identify. For sure. I know, obviously, at Breitbart, we have a perspective, the right of center perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to understand, Chad, that the situation isn't as clear-cut as a lot of media are making it out to be.
Right.
I know that everyone's very upset with the federal government, and they're rightfully so. They're upset with the growth and expansion and the overreach of the federal government, and rightfully so. But at the same time, we have to be careful with our cause celebres. We have to be careful that we're looking at all the facts in the situation. And I see a lot of that not happening, especially with it is a false narrative. A lot of the media are presenting that Harry Reid and the Chinese Communist government are involved in this a land grab that affects the Bundy family. And that is absolutely, there is not one shred of evidence to say that that is true. So this inflammatory romanticizing of what occurred in the Bundy Ranch standoff is likely to lead to more issues like that, for sure.
Yeah, and even, you know, you brought up Harry Reid, but, you know, yesterday, you know, he didn't help things out yesterday when he said, he had the quote, "These people who owe themselves out to be patriots are not, they're nothing more than domestic terrorists." That's not gonna help out the situation.
No, and that they're not domestic terrorists, and that's where, you know, that type of, well, you got to keep in mind that these are the same folks on the left who called just the Tea Party in general potential Timothy McVeigh.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of rhetoric isn't going to help out either. On the extremes of the left, you have someone like Harry Reid, and on the extreme of the right, you have Alex Jones, and both sides are saying hyperbolic things that leave out quite a bit of fact, and it's not helpful as we try to sort out the facts, you know.
Yeah.
With any situation, it's really important. You know, like a lot of people say to me that, you know, they know my history, and they say, well, you were once really prominent on the far left, and then over the course of your adulthood, you came to the right. And I always try to remind the people, I didn't come to the right as though I was joining a new club. I came to the right because I believe in pursuing truth as a scientist would pursue truth, and not pursuing truth as a defense attorney pursues truth. Meaning, on the left, with left media, what you see is they tend to get hyperbolic and leave out a lot of facts so that they can push a narrative, and their agenda being pushed and furthered is the topmost concern. on the right, in right media, we tend to look at things, and if the facts don't support something, then we don't support it, or we say it for what it is. But it's important that we do that in this situation as well, and that we keep our standards. And saying, you know, which a lot of people in media have said, like, well, the left does it all the time. Well, that to me doesn't seem like the way we're supposed to go about life, you know?
Right.
Just because someone else is hyperbolic and a bit dishonest doesn't mean we need to engage in the same behavior.
Visiting with Brandon Darby, Managing Director, Breitbart, Texas. You saw the debate earlier in the week between Julian Castro and Dan Patrick. Any thoughts on that? I know Breitbart had quite a bit of coverage over that debate.
A lot of coverage, a lot of opinion. We shared a lot of analysis. Well, I'll first say that I think it was bad form to even do the debate because Julian Castro has everything to gain from it. They're not running against each other, you know. So Castro had everything to gain, and Patrick had a lot to lose. And I don't know that he really lost a lot. I think he got to make some of the points he wanted to make. But here's what I think. I think there's a tendency, and before I say this, I'm gonna say I'm one of the only ones in the country who absolutely report every incident of crime from an illegal alien. Like, I couldn't be harder, have spent more time understanding border security and the exposing the holes in the border fences to our readers. So I take this issue very, very seriously. But at the same time, I always fall back to scripture where it says, you know, like, of course there are consequences for stealing, right, and for breaking the law. But it also says, do not despise a man who steals to satisfy his hunger. And so there's like a level of hatred and dehumanization that I think occurs. I think that the left dehumanizes people on the right who are strong about border security or who call us racist for even trying to point out the crimes that are committed from an open border, you know, from having an unsecured border and the cartel involvement in Texas and around the country. But at the same time, I think there's this tendency on the right. You know, I wrote a piece about the Border Patrol rescuing a 5-year-old girl from the Rio Grande River, mm-hmm. and she was trying to come into the country illegally. A 5-year-old girl, okay? And she was drowning in the river, and Border Patrol rescued her, and one of the commenters left a comment that said, should have let her drown, you know? And to me, you know, that level of, at the point that in this debate that we no longer see, you know, that the left no longer sees us as human, and then we no longer see people coming here illegally as human. You know, there's a problem. I think there's something wrong with any suggestion that a 5-year-old girl should be allowed to drown because it's not our responsibility. I obviously do not support that. So I look at that, and it was interesting because this was the first time that I really saw Dan Patrick really start to acknowledge that, you know, he actually really acknowledged the humanity and the human rights.
He was more compassionate.
He was a lot more compassionate. And compassionate doesn't mean that you're any less strenuous about following the law and enforcing the law. It doesn't mean that you think people should get amnesty. It doesn't mean, but it does mean that you acknowledge, just on a human sense, you acknowledge that there is a lot of human cost, in this ordeal. I think typically he didn't do that, and I'm not insulting him for it by any means. I think it's easy in a political debate to lose track of the fact that we're talking about human beings. But he was a lot more compassionate, and I thought that it was actually quite clever from a political standpoint, because one of the left's big selling points on the deal with illegal immigration is, and one of the ways that they promote it is they talk about the human suffering.
Yeah.
Well, I think to talk about the, you know, if there's an open border and we know that kids are crossing this border by themselves and oftentimes dying, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't, you know, the left looks at that and says, see, that means we should have less security in other places so the kids can get in easier. And I would look at that and I would say, no, it means we should have more adults and supervision in all the borders so that doesn't happen, you know?
Right.
So it's just the weirdest thing in the world. But I thought it was very interesting that he did that debate.
Yeah.
I questioned the wisdom in doing so, but he did it and it's done.
Yeah, and I think he did a good job just, you know, on top of what you said, you know, he brought up stories about women who are getting raped while being brought across the border, and they're not being border patrol anywhere in the area. Women being raped, children being raped, you know, people dying while trying to cross the border during the daytime, that they would just find bodies all over the place. So there's, he showed that compassionate, but at the same time did not back down off of any of his positions. And I thought that went real well. And I think connecting maybe to some of those in the audience who thought that Dan Patrick or just Republicans in general were going to come in and say, well, we hate anyone who just crosses the border.
Yeah, I was impressed with that aspect of it. From him, I thought he was wise to do that. And, you know, the thing that really stood out to me was just the lack of class, and decency and manners mm-hmm. that Julian Castro represented.
Yeah.
I mean, he interrupted, he insulted constantly. And it was really actually hard to watch because the guy was just so pompous. You know, you got the impression that the mayor of San Antonio felt like he was twice as intelligent, and mm-hmm. he saw no issue with acting like he felt that way. You know? It was kind of offensive. So I think that in that term, in the long term, when it comes to Julian Castro's political ambitions in the U.S. government, I think that showing that kind of attitude is probably not appealing to most Americans. At least I would hope not. Sometimes I feel like I don't know what most Americans want because I look at who our president is, and I can't imagine that he got voted in a second time.
Right.
But I can't imagine that would be appealing to most Americans for that lack of decency and lack of decor to be displayed. Because really, Patrick really didn't get a lot of opportunity to talk because every time he tried to talk about policy, he basically got shut down by the San Antonio mayor being very rude and very disrespectful and name calling and so forth. So it's pretty unfortunate, but I think that the issue was kind of symbolic of what goes on in the country as a whole or in the state as a whole, which is you had Patrick making his points and you had Julian Castro making his points, and they weren't communicating at all. Mm-hmm. They were just talking past each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's what's going on in the country right now as a whole.
Brandon Darby, Managing Director of Breitbart Texas, appreciate your time today, and we'll get you on again next week and kind of cover some more border issues since you're going to see it firsthand.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
Have a good one.
See you later.
That's Brandon Darby, Managing Director of Breitbart Texas.